through the prophetic song, Lord. And now, Lord, we ask that You would teach us by the Spirit of God, from the Word of God. And Lord, we don't want to just have head knowledge. We want heart knowledge that will change us from one degree of glory to another. Give us ears to hear that which You're saying in this hour to the body of Christ. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. If you can agree, would you say amen? Amen. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. We're going to be talking about ministry unto the Lord. So just write that title right across the top of your notes there. Ministry unto the Lord. Say it with me. Ministry unto the Lord. You see, we know a lot about ministry for the Lord. You know, when you pass out a tract, you lay hands on somebody, somebody calls you up on the phone, you pray for them. That's ministry for the Lord. But we need to hear, I believe, especially in this turning point, this transition time that the Spirit-filled community is going through, we need to spend an awful lot of time ministering unto the Lord. And as we minister unto the Lord, then the Bible promises, and we're going to see that this morning, that He will come back and minister unto us with what we might call revelation knowledge. All right, Acts chapter 13, and let's read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. You write down the references. I make a habit of saying, write this down, underline that. That's just the way I operate. All right, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." Now that's important right there. I want you to mark that. Not just the pastor, not just the evangelist. It says prophets and teachers. Now, probably those teachers were also pastors, pastor teachers. But I want you to see there we're talking New Testament prophets and New Testament teachers. And if you know anything about those two offices, it's amazing to get the guys to sit down in the same room. Oh, dear Lord. You know, the teacher, he wants to tell you all the good things of who you are in Christ. I mean, boy, he wants to, you know, put you over. The prophet feels led to adjust your faith. You know, and to get these two guys to sit down in the same room, much less worship God. Well, that's about all they can do. They can't talk very much. But they spend their time worshiping God, you know. But look what it says. There was prophets and teachers, and it lists some of them here. Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And please mark this, and Saul. Now we know Saul, later to be known more commonly as the Apostle Paul. So here we are. It's a leadership conference. I want you to mark that down. This is not a regular church service. It's a leadership conference. And if it was good for the leaders, then it ought to be good for us. Amen? What was their priority? Well, you know, you get to some leadership conferences and everybody's crying on one another's shoulders. You know, everybody's bragging, giving the reports. Well, we've done this, we've done that. Look what they were doing. Look what it says in verse 2. Please mark it. Here's the whole foundation for this series. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. Mark that. Oh, that's so important. Dear Lord, particularly in this time we're in. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Praise God, LA was announcing a fast, and I believe many of you are going to join in on that. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As. Please mark the word as. That means action. Somebody says, well, I sought God 2 years ago. Wow, I'm going to give you an award for that. You're still walking on what you heard 2 years ago. It says as. Everybody say as. See, that's an ongoing action. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's the one side of it. Look at the next side. Something happened. Something was set in motion. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Little did these guys know that on that day, you know, I don't think they walked in there and they said, well, we're going to start our missionary campaigns today. You want to prophesy about it, Barnabas? Yeah, I'll do it. No, they just walked in there with the priority. Priority number one is ministry unto the Lord. Now, let me put it away that may be a little more glamorous for you. This is the greatest key to success in all of the Bible. What I'm going to be teaching you about is the greatest key to success in all of the Bible. Because if you get hold of, I'm going to teach you how to minister to the Lord. Not corporately, that's the job of the worship team. I'm interested in you ministering unto the Lord when you're driving in your automobile, walking down the mall, and you don't have to act spooky to do it. You don't have to walk down the mall going, whoo, you know. Probably won't let you walk down the mall like that. Well, I don't know, in this day and time, you'd probably be right in, I don't know. Just dye your hair blue and go, But I'm interested in you ministering to the Lord all the time. Just stand in the presence of God. And if you'll do that, there's a a reciprocal side that the Holy Ghost will speak unto you. And then you'll be able to overcome the world, because the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God. And you know, we've always looked at that as just Christians. No, if you're operating your life on thus saith the Lord, if you're operating your life on the Holy Ghost has said, do this, that was born of God, born of the Spirit, and if you'll walk on that day by day, you will overcome the world. You know, I've been kind of labeled as a success teacher. I mean, I've got tapes back there galore on success principles from the Bible. Amen. It's better being known than as a failure teacher. Amen. But you know, there's all kinds of principles to success. Perseverance. Take that one. Boy, without perseverance, you're not going to do much. Amen. Without goal setting. You know, the whole book of Nehemiah is a goal setting lesson for the believers. But the greatest key to success is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, they tried to trick Jesus. They said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Remember that? And in their mind, they were thinking of one of thou shalt nots. He didn't even quote a thou shalt not. I mean, just blew the guys away. Okay, which one is it? Stealing? Adultery? Or thou shalt not kick the cat. Which one is it? Jesus says, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, how do you do that? That's the question. Somebody says, oh, you've got to obey God. Obey God, and then you know that you love Him. Well, that's true, but let me say this. That is not the greatest way to love God. If that were the greatest way to love God, if obedience were the greatest definition of that, the Pharisees would have arrived. Are you hearing me? I'll tell you the greatest way to love God is to spend time with Him and develop a relationship. If you really love somebody, you'll spend time with them. Amen? And so these prophets and teachers, they were loving on God. They were just spending time ministering unto. Everybody say unto. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I don't really want an outward response. I just want to ask you this. Answer it to yourself. How much time do you spend just with God? And I'm not talking about any particular posture. On your knees, you know, hanging from the chandelier. It doesn't matter to me. In your car. How much time do you really spend just ministering unto the Lord? In song. We're going to be talking about the different ways to minister unto God. In prayer. In prophetic utterance. And as you do that, you set something in motion where the Holy Ghost can come back and say unto you. Look what it says there. Verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Everybody say the work. What work was it? This was the beginning of the great missionary campaigns of the early church. Until this time, there had been none. The only possible exception was Philip the evangelist, who went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. But as far as an organized missionary effort, there had been none. You would have thought it would have been launched from Jerusalem, wouldn't you? I mean, Jerusalem would have been a logical place. That's where everything started. But did you know the leaders, the apostles of Jerusalem, they only saw Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And they only saw the Jewish community. And God had to give Peter a vision. He didn't really even want to go over to Cornelius' house. Do you remember that? He went over there. Then when he came back, they called him on the carpet and rebuked him about it. God raised up, as it were, an outsider, a guy named Paul. Wasn't even one of the original ones. And he launched him forth, not from Jerusalem, but from a Gentile church. Look what it says in verse 1. The church where? At where? Antioch. And little did these guys know. Like I said, they didn't walk in that morning and say, okay, Barnabas, you take the prophecy this morning. And God's going to speak about it, and we're going to plan our missionary campaign. They just got in there. Oh Lord, we love you and lift our voices to you. And as they just ministered unto God and loved on God, all of a sudden that set something in motion. And here's what I want you to see. There's a divine reciprocal that as you go up, God comes down. As you go up, God comes down. It's a law. A spiritual law. Write this verse down. James. James chapter 4. I believe it's verse 8. The first part of verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God. So Somebody help me. Draw nigh to God and what? And what? Now, you know what we've done? We've taught people to sing to the Lord, to worship God, but we've never taught them the other side of where you have to exercise your faith, that He will come back and speak to you. It's kind of like tithing. You know, for so long, people, the plague would come by and they'd drop something in, never having been taught that they could expect God then to bless them back. And, you know, we've had almost a whole generation of revelation on that. Well, how about this thing of spending time with God, draw nigh to God? Somebody says, oh yeah, I had my quiet time this morning. What did God say to you? Well, nothing. You know what I'm saying? I work my way through the Larry Lee procedure, praise God. I've said all the Jehovah's. And I'm not knocking that. Listen, Larry Lee has done a fantastic job. But any method, including mine, I've got some methods back there. Any method can become just as ritualistic and legalism, and it'll become death to you. Instead of realizing it's a person you're spending time with. Does that make sense? I mean, methods are great to get you started and so forth, but if all you're doing every morning is say, boy, I got to get through these 12 names here. Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah that. Praise God, I did it. Hallelujah. I go to work now and be a conqueror. instead of saying, hey, I'm going to spend time with God and then I'm going to wait for Him to speak back to me. How many of you guys would like God to speak something direct and specific about your business and your career? Let me see your hands. How many of you would like to hear God on something direct and specific regarding your children? About their personality, maybe the way it's developing, and there's God's showing you. You know, part of the Holy Spirit says He will speak of things to come. Everybody say to come. I mean, you know, we don't need Him to speak of things that have been done. We need forewarning. And so it says here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to mark that in your notes very specifically. Number one, draw nigh to God. The first step is you draw nigh to God. That's what we call ministry unto the Lord. And number two, if you'll have faith and learn a few things that I'm going to teach you during the course of this seminar, you can in turn hear the voice of God back unto you. I'm going to teach you how to hear the voice of God. Very specifically, how to hear the voice of God. I'm going to get into some of what I covered the last time I was here, tongue and interpretation. Some of you weren't here. I'm going to teach you how to interpret your own tongue. Hear the voice of God out of your own mouth. I'm going to teach you how to prophesy to yourself. Amen. How many of you need edification, exhortation, and comfort? I tell you what, you can't go charge somebody else's battery if yours is run down. Praise God. How many of you, your battery in your car has ever died? Come on, raise your hand. Isn't that just a glorious thing to happen? I mean, you know, you're getting up, you've got a schedule to keep, and you go out there and nothing. What do? You call the guy next door to you that has a dead battery too, amen? Say, come over here, maybe two dead batteries will make a live one. Well, you know, we're called to edify other people, bless them. And we've got to prophesy to ourselves. We've got to speak in tongues, and the Bible plainly says you've got to pray that you may interpret and get that revelation knowledge. Why? So you can hear the voice of God and get your battery charged so you can jump somebody else. People say, Jason, what do you do? I mean, you can describe it in all kinds of ways. I'm a Christian minister. Praise God. I'm an evangelist. Boy, that's intimidating, the word evangelist. Why is it intimidating? Because it means I'm out to get you. You can say I'm a teacher. Really, I'm just a fancy battery jumper. That's all I am, man. I just go around and jump people's battery. I am charged up, and I come in and I charge you up so that you can go be productive for the kingdom of God. All right, so he says here, as they ministered the Lord and fasted, little did they know this was the launching forth of the missionary campaigns. You know, no doubt, Paul. Have you ever thought of Paul? Man, this is the guy that they stoned to death. Drug him outside the community. We don't want you. We don't like you. Don't come back anymore. And the disciples, it said, stood around and prayed for him, and he got up. I mean, he's the kind of guy that says, praise God, I think we've got their attention. What made a guy like that tick? I know I was in the Philippines, not too terribly long ago, and leadership conference. Oh, glory, we're going to teach these boys something. And I was using Paul as an example, and I said, you know, Paul was shipwrecked. How many of you have been shipwrecked? Nobody raised their hand. I said, oh, we got him on this one, praise God. I said, how many of you have been stoned? About all of them raised their hand. I talked to my interpreter. I mean stoned, rock stoned. He said, that's what I said. They've had rocks thrown at them by the Muslims. I felt like sitting down. I thought, I'm teaching these guys?
I said, I got them on this one. How many of you have been stoned to death? They all pointed to one guy. I said, gee, little ugly guy, all pot-marked, sitting there taking notes. I said, dear Lord, Christ. I said, stoned to death. They said, yeah, God raised him from the dead. I'm over here teaching them. We get upset when somebody throws our track down. They threw my track down. I left it in the bathroom. Real sneaky, leaving it in the bathroom there. You know, Paul, he could always look back. Listen to me, I'm teaching you something. Paul could always look back and say, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. If you can always trace yourself back to a thus saith God, you're unstoppable. Did you get that? But if you're up there saying, oh, I wonder if this is God or I wonder if this is the devil. You know, have you ever been there? Okay, this mountain's in front of me. I wonder if it's God putting it there to redirect me or if I wonder if it's the devil. I rebuke it and I accept it. You know. I cast it out and I thank you for the lesson in it. Hey, this is not a sideline. As I said, if you haven't written it down yet, write it down. This is the main Bible key to success, is hearing God. Spending time with God is how you hear God. You say, I'm ready to move on, Jason. I haven't belabored it enough. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's side one, the Holy Ghost said, James put it this way, draw nigh to God, and there's a law, there's a rule that will go into effect. He will draw nigh to you. I believe that every time we pray, every time we praise and worship, every time we prophesy, that we set something in motion and God endeavors to come back to us. Now, we may not be sensitive to hear it because our radar is not tuned in, but God is endeavoring to come back. I want you to put your hands right here on your chest like this. All right, on the count of three, I want you to throw your hands out like that and go, woo! One, two, three. Woo! Oh, glory, glory. Do your friends say what church you go to? Just go, woo! I thought I'd get into something spooky. All right, put it back. One, two, three. When you pray, when you worship and praise, in other words, when you spend time to God, you are broadcasting into the spirit realm. Do your hands like this. Everybody say, I'm a broadcaster. I'm a transmitter. Into the spirit realm. I'm transmitting for God. See, really, when you're spending time with God, you are broadcasting just as surely as a radio station broadcasts. I mean, you know, 100, 200 years ago, if we had said, yes, right now there are invisible waves passing through these walls. Oh, there goes one right through your body. Did you feel that? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, there it went right there. CNN. There goes CNN right there. You know, people think you're crazy. Some parts of the world now, they think you're crazy. But we know, you know as well as I do, there are signals passing through here. If you had the proper equipment, you could receive them and view them. I believe that when we pray, when we praise and worship, when we spend time with God, we are sending out literal signals unto God, and signals are coming back unto us. We're going to see that in a moment, just in Proverbs says that. Signals are coming back to God, and our job is to learn simply how to get our, if you'll use the analogy, get our satellite dish tuned in, praise the Lord. Somebody says, I just can't seem to hear God. I can't hear God. I'm a lousy Christian. Well, have you been spending any time with God? No. But what do you do with your time? I watch Dallas and Falcon Crest as the stomach turns. Days of Our Wives. You know, all this garbage. Man, you're on the wrong satellite, man. I mean, you know, your dish is aiming in the wrong direction. And then you're going to blame God because God didn't speak to you about something. All right. Well, let's look what happened. Did they do it? Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, so they sat on it. And that's a good lesson. This is it really a sideline. If something's of God, it's going to stay with you. Please write that down. If something's of God, it will stay with you. Implied in verse 3 is they didn't just jump right on it. They broke the first fast. They went back into a time of prayer and fasting again. They sat on it. You know, we all have flashes in the pan. Boy, today, Eskimos for Christ. Yes, I know I'm called to Antarctica. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I have found that if something's of God, it'll stay with you when you feel good, when you feel bad, when you're up, and when you're depressed. It's something that settles within you. And that settled within them. Look what it says. And they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Everybody say they. Everybody say they. It says they sent them away. But look what verse 4 says. So they being sent forth by who? You want to make sure that you're sent forth by God, whether it's into business, whether it's what school you're going to go to, what major you're going to be involved in. You want to be able to say, I've been sent by God. That's one thing I tell missionaries when they affiliate with us. I say, listen, I want you to understand, we are a service organization. We are not a sending organization. I'm not sending you. We'll review your application. We'll call your references. We want to make sure that you're doing something good for God. I don't care if they're involved in medical missions. We've got one involved in orphanages in the Philippines. We've got some preacher and teacher types. We've got some that are just secretaries on the mission field, praise God. You need secretaries on the mission field. I said, it doesn't matter what job description you have, but I want to hear you tell me that God is sending you. Because if you get in trouble, I don't want you calling up here and saying, Jason, you have gotten into a mess. Or even the church that they're out of. I want them to say, God has sent me. Amen? And they were able to do that. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, let's go to Proverbs, and I want you to find two places in Proverbs simultaneous. Proverbs 2, chapter 2, and then we're going to go there first, but then also if you would find Proverbs 8, and we're going to flip back and forth between these two passages, and I want to show you something here. You say, Jason, what you're teaching is so simple. You got it. I'm telling you, we're famous for making things complicated. You just read through some of my tape lists there. 12 steps to this. 26 steps to that. 15 and one half steps to this. And I got hold of this thing of the simplicity of gospel. When you start going overseas, it better be simple enough for a fisherman, literally, that's all he knows, to understand. And there's nothing more simple than love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Amen? I had one brother, black brother, dear brother, was helping me load my tapes up after one meeting. And I was handing them off the table, and I guess he was reading the titles. 13 steps to this, 20. He said, Lord have mercy, brother. He said, you've sure got a lot of steps. I said, you know, you're right. Too many. We complicate things. All right, Proverbs 2. Somebody says, I just don't know how to spend time with God. Well, he's going to tell you right here. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my son, if. Now, please circle the word if. All through the Bible, there's what we call an if-then relationship. And sometimes we want the then without the if. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou, please mark this, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Now, let's talk about that. When you spend time ministry unto the Lord, what's going to come back to you is what the Bible calls wisdom. So write that in your notes. You say, what am I going to get? Well, you're going to hear God. Well, what does that mean, hearing God? You're going to get some type of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's practical instruction and knowledge on how to work out these problems and situations that confront you. So your mind is, the New Testament calls it the mind of Christ, who's been made unto us wisdom. You're going to all of a sudden have infused into your thinking, into your consciousness, what I call God ideas. The Bible here calls it the wisdom of God. You're all going to say, I see how to do that now. I see how to work that out. How do you get it? Keep reading. Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Now, you mark verses 3, 4, and 5. Here's the gist of it. Yea, if. Everybody say if. Circle it again. It says, if thou criest after knowledge. Well, brother, what do you think the real Hebrew means there? Well, I think the real Hebrew means to cry after knowledge. Yeah, but what does it mean to cry? It means to lift up your voice and call for it. Amen? I mean, you know, this silent prayer and stuff, you know, just you might as well get rid of that. I know some people, they flip out if you ask them to participate in silent prayer. Oh, I know it's a step of faith. You know. Look what it says here. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice. Everybody say voice. See, for that means that you're spending time with God. I tell you, it's so easy to look holy in church, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, you know, you just got to church. You know, the kids, you just beat all of them because you were mad at them. They beat on you. That's why you beat them. And boy, you get into church and, oh, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And have you ever listened to the conversation we have in church? How you doing, brother?
Glory. Okay, he's glory. Amen.
How's the children? Praise God. Okay, the children are praise God. How's your job going? Kosika baraka. What? Kosika what the? How's Fred doing? Glory. Praise God and co something or another. You know? It says to get before God and lift your voice to Him. You know, you can do that in the car. I tell you, we have so much wasted time. You've got a choice in the car. You can either minister to God or your hand. You can go over here to this thing known as a dial. And you can tune in certain things. Yeah, I know what kind of stuff people listen to. Spirit-filled people. I left my first mama for my second mama. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm working on my third. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I wonder why I'm not hearing God.
Well, I don't like rock and roll music, and I don't listen to rock and roll. I like country western.
Oh, yeah, I know you, too. The road is calling me home. And I'm leaving my wife behind. Goodbye. And then you wonder why you're not hearing God. I tell you, in the car, you can spend time just worshiping God, talking to God, fellowshipping with God, and He will draw nigh to you. It's a promise. Amen. Y'all get hold of what I'm saying? It's one thing to go,
oh, glory. Hallelujah.
It's another thing to really get to know God. Look what he says here. He says, you lift your voice, you cry for it. Verse 4, if thou seekest her, who's her? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is really Jesus. It's the knowledge of God. It's the voice of God. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then, you circle the word then. All those ifs lead up to this. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Go down to verse 10 for the sake of time. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, here it comes. It comes saturating into your mind. And knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee. Mark that. How many of you need to be delivered from bad business deals? How many of you need to be delivered from wrong decision making? Amen. Wisdom will do it. I tell you, I'm so glad I know how to minister to God. A year and a half ago, something like that, I was coming back from Central America, and I'd had a run-in with the people at the ticket counter. They didn't want me to get on the plane. I mean, it's just different down there. Delta's not ready when you are down there. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, if your name is not on the printout, you don't go. It doesn't matter if half the plane's empty. Your name is not on the printout. And so, dear Lord, you know, I was ready to get home. I'd been down there a week or two, and I was ready to get back to Martha, and I didn't have much money anyway left. Had my old trusty Visa, praise God. I wouldn't go overseas without one of those. And so I'd had a run-in, and I really think this lady told the people on the plane to put me off at the next stop, which happened to be Managua, Nicaragua. We landed in Managua. And folks, you don't realize, I guess you do, some of you men that have been in the service, we have a blessed country. You guys realize that? We got problems. We need to work them out. These people that are down on America, always down on America, I'm forgiving them a one-way ticket and send them off for about a year. First of all, they'll have a Big Mac attack while they're down there. And then they'll be glad when they get back. But I was sitting on the plane and I heard my name paged over the intercom system. See, my name is Jason Peebles. And on the printout, it's Peebles, Jason. Senor Peebles, Jason. Senor Peebles, Jason, please report to the captain. I'm trying to speak English, and I said, "Dad, that sounds like me." All my hearts are going, ooh. Soldiers got on the plane looking for Senor Peebles, Jason. They had automatic weapons. We're not talking about squirt guns. I mean, these guys, you know, I mean, you wonder if they know how to use them. You know, there's people all in the cabin, and this thing's pointing like this, automatic weapon, and the guy's turned around like this, you know, I wonder where he is, you know. Every once in a while, that thing, you know, and guns on their holster and everything. I said, dear Lord, I don't want to get put off in Managua, Nicaragua. You say, what would have happened? Oh, they probably just hassled me. The next plane would come through, it would be about a week. My Visa card would have been loaded. I just began to draw on wisdom of God. How do you draw on the wisdom of God? You spend time with God. I just began to worship God. By this time, they've paged it three times. Señor Pérez, yes, son. Please report to the capitán. Tanto. This time they're coming down the aisle looking at passports. I waited. I heard God say to me, sit still and don't move. I said, that bears witness with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is reason and rhyme in this. Please look at verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Look at verse 12. To deliver thee. Sit still and don't move. They're coming down looking at passports. Man, all they got to do is look at your photograph and look at Peebles, comma, adjacent. I could have pleaded ignorance. Oh, that was me? I said, God, don't make me look like a liar now. I spent some more time with God. Just kind of soft, you know. I said, sit still, don't move. I said, amen. I'm sitting about right where this fellow is, and this guy's right here. He comes up, and he says to me, looks me right in the eye. Boy, my heart is about to jump out of my body. He said, I wasn't going to lie, amen. Wouldn't be too godly to lie. I thought about it, but I decided I wasn't going to. He said, is your last name Jason? I said, no, sir. And I didn't offer any clarification whatsoever. I said, pasporte. That's real slow. One of these. Passport what? Pasporte. All of a sudden, the captain of the aircraft, we've been on the ground now about 30 minutes. He'd been hassling all the passengers like this. He came down, the soldier and the captain of the aircraft began to argue. Sound like Star Wars, you know, everybody speaking Spanish. I'm sitting there going, hey, get him, amen. Oh, God, confuse him. Help me, Jesus. Oh, I'm still looking for my passport. Soldier throws his hands like that, gets off the plane, and we take off a few minutes later. When we left the ground, I said, oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, this stuff is practical. This isn't just good preach. This will work. Everybody said it'll work. All right, that tells you how to do it. Look what verse 3 says in verse 4. It says, you've got to cry and you've got to seek. Something you've got to do. Now, go to chapter 8, and I want to show you something real interesting. While you're down here on planet Earth, so to speak, crying, asking God to help you, ministering unto the Lord, loving on Him, prayer, sending up incense and all this kind of stuff the Bible talks about. Look what it says in verse 1 is crying to you. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, doth not wisdom cry? See, God is trying to reach you. God is trying to come back to you, as it were, with His knowledge, His wisdom, His instructions, His plans, His strategies, His schemes, so that you can be victorious. It says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? There's God speaking and crying toward you. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. Please mark that, the paths. We would simply call that the streets, the malls, where the people are. I had one guy say this to me once. He says, well, brother, he said, I think that sounds great what you're teaching. He says, but I work for a living. I said, you talking to me? He said, I work for a living. He said, if I was an evangelist or a preacher, I could probably sit around and meditate all day. He says, but I work. I said, let me show you something. Where is wisdom? Somebody says, oh, if I could just get to the church house. You know, do we forget how much the world is out there? I mean, we come in here and raise our hands and praise God. That's fine. I'm all for it. We cut loose and rip loose and touch. I mean, there's people out there, you know. I mean, if you raised your hands next to them, they would flip out. I can remember I grew up Presbyterian. We had none of this. We had an organ, praise God. We did have an organ. I mean, the Baptists had something up on us. The Baptists had altar calls. We didn't have altar calls. Don't put anybody under pressure. And I can remember standing there at some of the, when that organ played, I can remember Onward Christian Soldier, This Is My Father's World. Man, I can remember as a little boy, the hair on my back standing up. If somebody had just told me what to do, I would have been down front, lickety-split. But we didn't believe in that. And I mean, when I started getting, you know, around spirit-filled people, raise your hand. I mean, you know, this was a big time for me. Look at what it says. It's practical. It says, it's in the path. That's where you'll find wisdom. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city limits, at the coming in of the doors, everywhere. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Look at verse 6. Hear, please hear. I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Go down to verse 15. This is still wisdom talking to you. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Verse 16. By me princes rule. Verse 17. I'll love them that love me. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Look at verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I'm telling you what, there's rewards unspeakable and full of glory all wrapped up in God Himself, who will come unto us as wisdom. Go back to chapter 2. How do we get hold of that? We have to set the thing in motion by doing verse 3, crying after knowledge and lifting up our voice. You know, you're going to begin to vibrate like what you hang around. Did you get that? You're going to begin to vibrate. Your spirit will begin to vibrate like what you hang around. Good or bad? Good or bad? How many of you love to go get physical exams? Isn't that just wonderful? Walk in the doctor's office, the smell of the alcohol swabs. I mean, it just does something to you, you know. I had to go get a physical exam once for a flight. Praise God, we got our airplane. Since I was here last, we've got an airplane. And every once in a while, I had to go get my pilot's physical. And walked in there, and you know, it always unnerved me a little bit. The nurse walked you down the hall. This is your, looks like a stall, you know. This is your room. You go in and close the door, and her last command is, may go ahead and undress. The doctor will be here in a moment. I'm kind of a private person. That just unnerves me a little bit. There's never locks on the doors. Have you ever figured that out? There's never any locks on those doors. I check it out. Never locks. I'm always afraid I'm going to have obeyed her last command, and somebody's going to forget that's my room. I'll open the door. Hi, guys. How you doing? There's one time I was, you know, checking everything out. What do you do while you're standing there? Just kind of walk around? Great. I hope the doctor gets here quick, you know. I remember I went over there, you know, I tried the crunchy paper. You ever sit on that crunchy paper? I said, man, that's a, I'm going to sit on the crunchy paper, man. It's no good. I went over to the table, and you're not supposed to look at the stuff, but I looked at them anyway. The knee knocker. Boy, I got the knee knocker. I said, boy, that's a nice little knee knocker. I got the thing out, started flipping it, you know, looking the eyes and ears and everything. I don't know why I did it. I just did it. There was a tuning fork there. Everybody say tuning fork. Where are you going with this? You'll see in a moment. I took the tuning fork, I struck it, it began to vibrate and make a pitch, a sound. There was another tuning fork there. I didn't strike it for some reason. I just brought it within close proximity to the one that was vibrating. Can anybody guess what happened? It picked up the same vibration. I heard God. I tell you, God speaks through simple things. I heard God say, you've got to be like what you hang around. If you'll spend time with God, if you'll begin to just minister to God, lift your voice to God in song, just talking to Him, you don't have to, oh, yay, 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 thou yayest, yay, God, oh, yay, God. You know, I've heard some, dear God, you know, just talk normal to the man. sound like you're leading a cheerleader. Yay, God, yay, God, yay, God. Hallelujah. Just spend time talking with God. I tell you, your spirit, that's how you get your spirit, like the satellite, getting properly tuned in. It'll begin to vibrate, as it were, according to the pitch of God's voice. And God will just begin to drop ideas into you. It's not always going to be a voice ricocheting off the wall.
Jason, 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 Jason. Come in, come in, come in, come in, come in.
Honey, we got crazy ideas about hearing God, don't we? I'll tell you what, God wants to use your mind. Everybody say it. God wants to use my mind. Say it again. God wants to... The Bible talks so much about renewing of the mind. And we've interpreted that as, well, don't think these crummy bad thoughts. That's not the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind is getting the spirit up into your brain. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let the spirit come up and give you those God ideas. Now, quickly, let's go to the book of Acts again, and I want to show you how this couple of passages, I want to show you how this was the key to the success of the early church. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. You know, you wonder, what is the key? Well, I remember at Oral Roberts University, we felt this way. But if we could just discover the New Testament pattern, oh glory, if we just copy the New Testament pattern, God would have to just come in power like in the New Testament. I remember we felt that. We found this passage. We said, hallelujah. We worked our way right through this passage. Look in chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Everybody say 3,000. That's pretty good church growth. Amen. One day you have, 120, the next day you got 3,000. Praise God. Take some folding chairs. So we said, how could we have those same results? Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Now, it's going to list some things here. And you know, we found this and we began to work our way through this. We said, this has got to be it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We said, glory to God, we're just going to find the apostolic, genuine doctrine. And if we find and preach the apostolic doctrine, it'll bring apostolic results. And I mean, we got to talking doctrine so much. We're talking, you know, the theology students at ORU. We'd sit out in the halls and just talk about the apostolic doctrine. We talked ourselves into so many circles. Before long, none of us were saved. None of us have the assurance of salvation anymore. Have you ever been? We said that couldn't be it. So we went to the next one. Praise God. Fellowship. Oh, that's the answer. If we could just continue steadfastly in fellowship. I tell you what, we fellowship so much, it's a wonder we, you know, made it through school. We said that couldn't be it. We came to the next one. Breaking of bread. Oh, glory to God. We're just going to eat together all the time. Eat together. Man, we got so peaced out, we didn't want peace anymore. Praise God, we finally came to it. Please mark this. Please mark it. And in prayer. You see, the teaching is in prayer, the fellowship is in prayer, the breaking of bread is in prayer. Everything is in an atmosphere of ministry unto the Lord. Everything is under the priority of spending time with God. And out of that, look at verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. And I don't think it's coincidence. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You see, when you spend time with God, you're going to get signs and wonders. It may not be a leg being lengthened. A sign and a wonder to you might be a business deal coming through that you've been putting together for 6 months. That's a sign and a wonder. It'll come out of you spending time with God. Out of you spending time with God. All right, go to chapter 4 quickly and let's look at some other passages. Chapter 4 and let's go to verse 29. What were they doing? They were spending time with God. Chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Verse 29, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, we're reading their prayer, grant with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal. They were praying, God, do wonders, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, they'd spent time ministering unto the Lord, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32 says they were of one heart and one soul. Go to chapter 5 and look at the results. Chapter 5, the same group of people. Look at verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many what? signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Look at verse 15. Interesting. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter, dear Lord, we're talking shadow power. Praise God. I mean, you know, they were vibrating so in tune with God that their very being was emanating the presence of God. The kind of stuff you put in your newsletter. Look at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. You know, you don't send out your quarterly publication. Strip down your shorts. Praise God, here we are, having effective results. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, here's a close-up of Silas's stripes. Praise God. Be praying for Silas. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the, please mark it, inner prison. That's the dirty, dirty part of the prison. And made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, you know the story, but I want you to be honest. What would you have done in that situation? Can you kind of imagine the dialogue possible? Silas, Paul, this is it. This is the last trip I'm coming on. You can forget it after this. If we get out of this, I'm not going with you again. Big man, getting a vision to come over here and preach the gospel. Yeah. And here's the way a lot of charismatics would have rationalized. If God had really called us here, we wouldn't have been beat and we wouldn't be in the stocks. Hello? Because we know the gospel is easy street. My mama said you didn't pay enough anyway. We can get you somebody else to help you. Come on, what would you have done? Yeah. This shows us something about their priorities. This is what I'm getting to. This shows us something about their priorities. You put pressure on somebody, that shows you something about their priorities. Look what their priority was. And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained and moaned and groaned unto God. Is that what yours says? Oh, I'm sorry. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, please mark this, because these are two out of three ways that you minister to the Lord. It says they prayed and sang praises unto God. Let me give you the three ways that you minister unto God. The three primary ways. Number one, prayer. We're going to be talking about all of these. And we're going to have workshops, by the way. Beginning tonight, I'm going to teach, and then we're going to have about a 10-minute workshop where we're all going to participate in this. See? Get you hearing the voice of God. Teach you how to minister unto God in your private life. Prayer, the second, is what I'm going to lump two together, praise and worship. Praise and worship is number two. And thirdly, the third way that you might not be quite as familiar with, we're going to get into the tabernacle of David and some things like that. Prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. That's a way to minister unto God, and it's also a way that He ministers the song of the Lord back out of your own mouth unto you, hearing the voice of God. Prophetic utterance. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. We're talking loud. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Please mark that. Everyone's bands were loosed. I don't think historically that's so important, as I believe what the story here is trying to teach us is that when you'll spend time doing what they did, when your priority is praying and singing praises unto God, God will move. In this case, an earthquake. You set things in motion. When you broadcast out, you call and send forth those spiritual waves into the spirit realm, God begins to come back unto you with wisdom, with signs and wonders, and He sets things in motion to set you free. Praise God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You spend time with God, He will come back with the wisdom necessary to absolutely set you free and put you in a position to help not only yourself, other people. Amen? That's the priorities of God. That's the number one key to success. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. On this, the whole law and all the prophets are hanging. And we're in a transition time. We're in another 40-year cycle. You know, 1908, there was what they call the Azusa Street revivals. We're in its heyday. 1948, 40 years later, the healing revivals broke forth. Israel became a nation. This is 1988. I tell you, all this shakeup that we're seeing, I'm going to comment a little bit more about it. It's God getting the tree ready for more fruit. Part of me grieves, just like in your, you've grieved over the people involved and people that have been hurt.
young Christians that don't have their eyes on God. But I tell you what, God, He's not doing it to embarrass us. He's not allowing it to happen so we can walk around and say, look how withered up and pruned. You know, God pruned us, praise God. We got a good God. He just pruned me way back. No, Jesus said it's for more fruit. And we are at another 40-year cycle. This is 1988. 40 years is a generation in the Scriptures. God is getting ready to do an unprecedented outpouring of His Holy Spirit. And He's saying to His people, now of all times is the time to tune in and hear My voice on what I have for your life. Because I'm getting ready to shift gears now, and I want you to be a part of that. Amen.